Join me Friday, October 21st from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. for From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and political commentary. On Friday, October 21st, we will continue with P-Funk and politics, where fantasy is reality, on 90.7 FM, KBOO.
Fantasy is reality in the world today. I'll keep hanging in there. That's the only way.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Rent's Tents Development. Who does the City Council represent on Friday, October 21st at Revolution Hall in Portland? Rents, Tents, and Development is an election debate featuring candidates for Portland City Commissioner Chloe Udaly and Steve Novick. This event will focus on how housing intersects with other social justice causes and the candidates' vision of how we can take local action to change housing policy in our city. Again, that's Rents, Tents, Development. Who does City Council represent on Friday, October 21st at Revolution Hall, 1300 Southeast Stark Street in Portland? More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, Portland. This is Labor Radio. I am your host, Michael Cathcart. Very excited for our show tonight. Tonight we have not one, but two senatorial candidates on the air live with us right now. In the room with me, I have Shanti Llewellyn. He is running for U.S. Senate against Ron Wyden on the Working Families, the Working Families Party. And then on the phone, we have Eric Navickas, and he is running on the Progressive Party ticket. So both of you, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Michael.
Right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Welcome. So basically, I'd like to, if it's all right with both of you, I'd like to just sort of do an open format here. Like to start by just kind of talking about both of your backgrounds. I'll go one at a time. If you could talk to us just a little bit about how it is that you came to politics and what it is you were doing before this, and then we'll move on from there to sort of why it is that you are running for this particular seat. But let's start right now with Shanti. If you could just give us a little bit about your background and why it is that you found yourself in the political world.
All right, thanks, Michael. I was kind of born into the political world. My parents were very involved in the anti-nukes movement when I was a kid. And then as I was growing up, they got super involved in stopping offshore oil drilling on the Northern California coast and trying to stop the clear cutting of redwoods. My mom was really involved in the stopping offshore oil drilling. And I went with her lobbying and to all kinds of political demonstrations. Our family subsisted on harvesting seaweed from the tide pools. And so that was really kind of a do or die movement. And she was able to build a lot of grassroots support and was on a first name basis with a lot of the politicians in California and in Washington and in D.C., and they did stop offshore oil drilling on the Northern California coast. So you don't have messed up seas.
Right.
The story in the woods was a little bit different. There were corporate raiders that came in and basically just there were a number of companies that were, you know, sustainably harvesting the trees and basically got bought out and the stocks were liquidated. And I watched all these timber towns, you know, completely fail. And so when I graduated from college and came back there, there weren't a lot of jobs. It was just kind of tourism. And so I wound up settling in Portland. I was drawn to Portland because, you know, it was more affordable than Northern California,
right.
But it was also a swing state. And so I felt like this was, I had been protesting the invasion of Afghanistan, and I felt like, you know, protesting in San Francisco against the Iraq War was kind of silly because everyone agreed with you. They all just joined in.
Yeah.
up here, it was a little bit different. And so then, but like all through this time, I was pretty much flat broke, you know? So my activism was really just kind of in the streets, what I could do, you know, on a tight budget. I finally was able to enter the middle class when I became a longshoreman and worked my way into the union. And so I have a huge amount of appreciation for what the labor movement has done for me as someone coming up, out of poverty, but also, for people, you know, in general in our society and really in protecting democracy and taking, you know, the grassroots concerns of union members and making sure that our democracy is protected so those concerns can be heard and addressed in government. But what we're seeing as union numbers dwindle, as manufacturing goes overseas, we're seeing a real change in our political landscape. And so that's something that I really want to address in my candidacy. But throughout that whole process, you know, from the anti-war movement when I was just getting born to the labor movement, back to the anti-war movement, to the environmental movement, then to the labor movement.
Yeah.
It's always the same adversary. And what I see is just a splintered left, and these historic divisions between us are what really holds us back and hobbles us and is really threatening our democracy is the way I see it. And so I see with this candidacy, the opportunity to confront the TPP by challenging Wyden. I feel like this is an event of the magnitude. The TPP is potentially going to have the impact of the WTO and GATT, and that was the kind of thing that actually really woke up a lot of progressive people in the Northwest in the late 90s. And I'm hoping that through this process we can kind of parlay what happened with the Bernie camp into a stronger alliance between labor, environmentalists, consumer advocates, people that are concerned about internet freedom and regulating the banks. All these groups have serious, legitimate, unaddressed concerns with the TPP, and we need to challenge Wyden, Bonamici, Blumenauer, Schrader, this Democratic alliance that's really just trying to marginalize us and say that we're anti. Where you're anti-trade,
right.
If you're anti-TPP. Now, I'm a longshoreman and I'm a lawyer, and you can't tell me that I'm anti-trade. I understand the issues. I subsist on trade. The ILWU, the union that represents the longshoremen, has opposed every trade deal since NAFTA because they're all designed to just put money into the hands of corporations, put power in the hands of corporations, and make it so we can't protect... protect those interests that I talked about: environment, labor, consumers' rights, all these issues. I don't want to take up too much time. I want to let you get on to your questions, but
right.
But just really quickly, you know, throughout this whole process, you know, of kind of coming of age, I've always been trying to figure out how can I make the biggest impact with what limited resources I have. And so when I was asked to run by the Working Families Party, and supported by folks in the worker advocate community. I'm a lawyer representing workers against employers that rip them off and discriminate against them, and other folks in the left-wing community here. I couldn't say no. So anyway, that's why I'm here with you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And just for the listeners out there who we cover it constantly in the show, but the TPP stands for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's a subject we've talked about extensively, but it's actually a link between both of these candidates. So I'm going to turn quickly to Eric. And if you wouldn't mind answering that same question, sort of laying out your background and how it is that you found yourself running for the Senate.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Yeah. I have a degree in architecture, I began doing environmental activism in the early 90s. I was working as a field manager with the Western Ancient Forest Campaign up in Portland, and we were lobbying for a stronger Northwest Forest Plan. And then that was also the era of NAFTA, so I got really involved in fighting against NAFTA up there in Portland. Then I went on to school and then moved back to Ashland, Oregon, which is my hometown, where I became a city councilor and also a citizen litigant. And I was involved in various litigation, especially regarding land use policy within the Ashland Creek watershed. I took on a large ski development proposal that was going to go in and was successful in litigating that project and shutting it down. And then also I recently won some litigation over a fuels reduction project where they were really exploiting the issue of fuels reduction to get timber out of the Ashland Creek watershed. And our litigation at least limited that to took out some of the most egregious elements of it, where they were taking out large diameter trees. I currently am working as an organic farmer. I have a small organic farm. We do 3 growers markets down here in Southern Oregon. We're certified organic with Oregon Tilth Certified Organic. I got involved in this campaign because of the same issues that Shanti's brought up. The TPP was one of the really critical issues that was facing Oregon workers. And what these big trade agreements do is they really cater to the interests of big multinationals that want to ship jobs overseas to exploit cheap labor. And it's my feeling that capitalism really isn't working for this reason, because it's all about the exploitation of labor for large capitalists who are working to make money for money through exploiting labor. And the way that they do that is through these international trade pacts that go overseas to find cheaper labor so that their profit margins are higher. And this pushes down wages all over the world, including in America. So when I saw Ron Wyden take a stand for that, I knew I had to stand up and fight against his campaign. And then another big project down here in Southern Oregon is Ron Wyden has also been supporting an LNG pipeline and a liquid natural gas pipeline that's proposed to cut over to Coos Bay, a connector pipeline to get oil out into the Pacific from Canada. And this is a multinational Canadian company that's working on this. And I really see this as tied to our whole foreign policy of we are basically colluding with Saudi Arabia right now to pump up oil production to flood the markets and bring down the non-aligned countries, especially Iran and China, but also the leftist governments of South America, Venezuela. We've seen Brazil recently fall. And all of this is the result of us flooding oil to crush their economies. And I think this is a very aggressive foreign policy that is also having an impact of dropping oil prices domestically. So we're consuming more gas, more fossil fuels, increasing the potential for global warming. So it's really these two big issues that I saw Ron Wyden standing up for that I had to challenge him around.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it does strike me that all the issues that both of you are running on are similar, and they do seem to stem from failings in Wyden's approach and his sort of more establishment stance on a lot of environmental issues here, and as well as our sort of trade policies. So I know you both kind of covered a little bit, but would you say, I mean, I know that you've both signed a letter trying to get Wyden to debate you, as well as 3 of the other candidates running for this position. I know that he declined that. Would either of you agree to debate each other besides this situation right now? I mean, would either of you either agree to unify your candidacies, or I guess come together for a debate so that the left, people who are trying to vote on the left of where Wyden is, could choose between one of you? Or is it maybe more of a statement to simply both stand against Wyden? And we'll start, I guess, with Shanti.
I think those are great questions, and I haven't really thought about them, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
I think that you know, we've been running our campaigns independently, but when we worked on this debate challenge letter, and actually after the letter, we both demonstrated at Wyden's offices around the state on the same day. You know, I've really enjoyed speaking with Eric about the issues, and I think that we have definitely a consensus that Wyden needs to be confronted on these issues, and you know, definitely haven't been targeting each other, or trying to really setting ourselves up for a debate with each other. We would absolutely, I mean, I can speak for myself, of course. I would love to debate with the Republican, Libertarian, yeah, and Independent candidates, because I think that what's happening when we don't have a debate is different kind of compartments of the state. You know, we're kind of like fragmenting as a society. Everyone is going to more and more polarizing media, and we're not having a chance to actually really challenge each other on the issues.
Right.
I don't know if I see sufficient difference between Navicus and myself to really justify a full-fledged debate. But absolutely with the other candidates, I would love to debate the folks that are talking about privatizing our forests, that want to, you know, drown government in a bathtub, that oppose the TPP really for the wrong reasons. I think that absolutely we should be opening up to the world and opening up to world markets, but we should be doing it in a way that really challenges other countries to be more democratic and to be more serious about addressing these concerns like climate change and toxicity of production, whatever processes and this kind of thing.
Yeah. So fair trade more so than just simply free trade. And all
absolutely.
Cool.
Sorry.
No, you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'd have to agree with Shanti on that. I think the really important thing is that we continue to pressure Ron Wyden to debate. He's an establishment Democrat, and debate is a foundation of our democracy, and we need to hear his positions, and we need to also hear that juxtaposed with the positions of both Shanti and myself. And unfortunately, the citizens of Oregon aren't getting that opportunity to hear Ron Wyden debate openly, and I think that's a real travesty for our democracy and for the citizens of Oregon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would emphasize as well that the candidates that are running against Wyden have all been nominated by, you know, by the parties that nominated them.
Yeah.
And just out of respect for the constituencies of those parties, I think Wyden ought to, you know, be willing to submit himself to that, and you know, I don't know what he has to be afraid of. I mean, he's got his record. He can stand by his record. I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to get an answer to him. You know, do you want to pardon Edward? Will you pardon Edward Snowden? Would you? Why would he wouldn't? He hasn't even said whether he supports the TPP or not. Sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, unfortunately, has a well-funded campaign, and he's running these very slick ads, and that's all the population is able to hear of his campaign,
right,
that he supports local breweries and cider houses. And that's not what this is about whatsoever. We're talking about really critical issues that are affecting workers here in America.
Yeah, actually, I saw a ad campaign that you ran where you say that you make cider, you support cider as well. I thought that was a pretty great point that you made there, and that is directed to Eric.
Yeah, that was a fun little video to make.
Yeah, that was great.
Cider anyways.
Because, it does seem like
we did sort of a parody.
No,
yeah,
you
we
go.
Did a parody of his campaign or of his advertisement somewhat. But yeah. I thought it was really effective.
It does seem like that is kind of the main point that he seems to be running on, is that he's in favor of brewers and breweries and cider makers, but not so much discussing the issues that really do affect Oregonians and workers in this country in general.
Every politician here in Oregon would say that they support microbreweries and cider houses.
It would
that's
be hard.
Not an issue.
Yeah, it'd be hard. It'd be hard pressed to find someone who did not support that in Oregon. But yeah, so just moving slightly on. I guess, you know, we've covered this a lot, but are there, what would you say are maybe the two or three main pillars of each of your campaigns, and what is it that each of you seek to do, you know, aside from simply challenging Wyden and forcing him to, you know, re-clarify his positions, but what is it that you would seek to do if elected? And we'll start with you, Eric.
Oh, great. Yeah, one of the big issues in my campaign has been to push for sliding scale wages. I think we need to move towards a socialist economy, and through sliding scale wages, we can do that. This is a concept where wages are connected to profits. So if a company quarterly reports come in, they've made incredible profits, a large percentage of that would go back to the workers. And this is a way we can really deal with this crisis of disparity that's plaguing our nation at this point. Another issue is universal health care. This is a huge tax, the cost of health care on workers, and this should not be on workers. Most industrialized, wealthy countries in the world have universal health care, and we can invest in this. And we need to get the profiteers out of our health care system so that we can reduce costs and really address the needs of the people. Mm-hmm. Another issue is higher education. I believe that we should fully fund higher education. And we should also look at forgiving the debt of students who've already had to pay. This is another tax on those who are working class people who don't have extremely wealthy parents to fund their education. And everyone in America deserves higher education. And investment in public transportation is another tenet of my campaign. We need high-speed rail going from all of our cities. We need light rails in our inner cities. We need to invest in commuter rails. These are the things that are taxes, again, on the working class. The fact that people have to pay an incredible amount of money to get to work every day. We need that to be subsidized through investment in public transportation. And then last, I'd like to talk a little bit about basic income, because I think this is something that all liberals need to be getting behind now, basic income. Mm-hmm. The reality of our economy is that it's been heavily mechanized, and it really doesn't take the entire working class to operate our means of production. So we need to address the fact that there's a large number of our people who are completely disenfranchised, and we need to address this problem because they're just living in poverty, and this poverty is leading to things like crime, violence, prostitution, drug addiction. We need to address the issue of poverty aggressively, and we need to do this through moving towards a socialist economy and supporting things like basic income, sliding scale wages, investment in housing, investment in higher education, and investment in health care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Shanti, same question to you.
I guess I would start by saying that we often hear that our country, it is a capitalist country, but we seldom hear that it's a democratic country. Right. And so my primary concern is, how do we engage so many people that are left out of the process? I would like to see, you know, the people of this country really be given a voice and the room to get involved. I mean, it's a real luxury to be able to run for public office, to be able to donate time, to be able to show up for these kind of things. And we need to figure out how to reinvigorate that grassroots involvement. And I think a big part of that just really starts with listening to our constituencies, particularly, you know, as I was born the last year of Generation X, and so we got kind of all the sort of pyramid scheme social contract that the millennials are kind of waking up to
right.
now,
yeah.
But without the numbers. Now finally, millennials outnumber baby boomers, and if we do have a democracy, ought to be seizing, you know, a little bit more power and initiative in how things are going to be shaped. So absolutely, you know, I support free public education. I support loan forgiveness, or at least capping student interest rates. I think we can afford to do that, and I think that we really need to start rethinking the way that we engage in politics. We seem to be super reactive. We wait until there's a crisis, and then mm-hmm. we have a war on poverty, a war on crime, a war on drugs. Now we have a war on terrorism, and which I don't think there's an exit strategy until we've ruined terrorism, which is essentially a technique. So, or a strategy.
It's a state of mind.
And yeah. So we really need to, I think, rethink the way that we do politics and try to engage people in a longer term, so that we have grassroots alliances that make sure that when an election like this comes up, there's we can trust each other to hold the line and get a candidate in there that really represents the interests of the people. And Ron Wyden is just not that candidate. We're not going to see the student loan crisis addressed when he takes more money from the financial and securities, banking and securities industry than any other industry. He took $35,300 from Wells Fargo. We're not going to see single payer when he takes $400,000 from pharmaceuticals and medical equipment manufacturers, and when he takes hundreds of thousands of dollars from health insurance companies and big hospital conglomerates. Yeah. So we really need to recognize that those factions, those splinters that divide the people by generation, by race, by class, by ethnicity, national origin, those are really just working against us, and we're all kind of getting the short end of the stick until we really organize. And we have amazing freedoms in this country. It's just we need to exercise those freedoms and organize.
Yeah, I mean, we are at an amazingly polarizing moment right now in our politics, both local and statewide, but really, I mean, nationally. We have two candidates running for the highest office that have higher, disapproval ratings than approval ratings, it seems. And I think you both sort of touched on it pretty well there. But would you say, I mean, something like Citizens United, I mean, as if elected, is that a cause that you would seek to, have overturned? Would you support the appointment of judges who would make that a top priority? Or is that maybe, do you see that as less of an issue than simply trying to get people engaged in the political process and trying to put out a new platform, a new message of left-leaning sort of more, people-first policies? And I suppose we can start with Eric on that if you have an answer for that.
Yeah, well, I think campaign finance reform is something that we need to move forward with. We need to get big money out of politics, but we also need to organize on a grassroots level and be sure that we get solid leftist candidates who are in office, who are going to work for the cause of working people. And what we've seen is candidates like Ron Wyden are supporting these international trade pacts that are moving jobs overseas. And that is not the direction we need to go, because we need employment here. We need to address the incredible class disparity. And one of the best ways one way that we can begin to address that is through campaign finance reform and working to get these big corporate interests out of politics.
Absolutely. And Shanti, to you.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to do something about Citizens United, whether it's an amendment to the Constitution or ideally the Supreme Court will address it without such a drastic measure.
Right.
And the Multnomah County Honest Elections ballot measure, I think, flies in the face of Citizens United. And so we're already starting our challenge. And that's the kind of progressive policy and leadership that we could see out of Oregon with a different senator. We see Senator Merkley really stepping out to represent the interests of I think the more idealistic Oregonians, the more forward looking Oregonians, and we can't have Wyden canceling him out. So yeah, absolutely, we need to do something about that.
Yeah. So we have about 3 minutes left here. I would like to just quickly jump in, and I suppose if there are folks out there who are listening who are identifying with either or both of these candidates, what would be the best way, starting with you, Shanti, for folks to get involved, and do you have upcoming events that they can sort of show up to, and how can people get involved in your campaign?
Well, I think since Senator Wyden has refused to debate us, we need to take it to him online. If you see his advertisements, post a rebuttal. Definitely look for my website, shantiforsenate.com, and there's some ways to get involved there. Try to have a good time challenging Wyden. I don't think that there's any way we're gonna bump him out of this race. But really we need to send a strong message that we're getting organized, that there is an alliance among progressives in Oregon, and it's gonna be different next time.
Absolutely. And to you as well, Eric.
Yeah, also you can go onto my website, Navikas for Senate with a 4, the number four. But also this Friday, I'm going to be speaking at the No TPP event in Springfield, Oregon. So that's a big event coming up. You can go to their website and look at that. We also have a big Green Party. You didn't mention that I'm also nominated by the Pacific Green Party as well as the Progressive Party.
Oh, my apologies.
And Jill Stein's going to be coming up to Portland on Sunday the 23rd at the Roseland Theater at 6 o'clock at night, and I'm going to be speaking there as well. So come on out to that big Green Party event. I think it's going to be really spectacular, and we're going to show that we can make a difference in this election.
Well, that's great. Yeah, for those of you here in Portland, that will be taking place at the Roseland Theater in downtown Portland. Well, thank you both for being here. I suppose with the 30 seconds left, is there any final message that either of you or both of you would like to put out there to the voters? Starting with you, Shanti.
Just absolutely thank you for having me on the air. And voters, absolutely, you know, come on out, support us, and let's try to build a real progressive revolution here in Oregon.
And to you, Eric.
Yeah, it's the grassroots that really can make a difference, and we are the grassroots, and we can organize and make a difference here and put a real progressive into the Senate for Oregon.
Well, thank you both for being here. Again, my guests were Shanti Llewellyn and Eric Navickas, both of whom are challenging Ron Wyden from the left for the U.S. Senate seat. This has been Labor Radio. Thank you all very much for listening, and have a great night.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Join me Friday, October 21st, from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. for From the Grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music.